Well, welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And can you believe it that we are nearing the end of our time in Philippians at our campus? We actually just finished up. We finished out the rest of chapter four, really looking at this incredible reality around generosity, which is always so fun to talk about within church. It can be one of the things that when people think about, gosh, all the church wants is my money. But it's also one of the reasons I love just studying books of the Bible and walking through those things, because it comes up right here in the midst of that. And really, one of the things that I talked about with generosity is this idea that the secret to generosity is hidden in the gospel. And this secret, right? Paul talked about in the beginning of the first section, 10 through 13, how he has learned the secrets around contentment, right? That Paul says that whether he has much or he has little, he has learned to be content in any and every circumstance. And isn't that good news for you and me? That we can learn contentment in our lives, and that when we learn that contentment, when we learn that secret, guess what? It unlocks generosity in our hearts, because the secret to generosity is hidden in the gospel. And that's where Paul goes next. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what Paul is not saying is often how we think about that verse, right? That I can hit a home run, that I can score a touchdown, that my team can win, that I could make this sale, that I could, you know, do something incredible and amazing because God, right, will strengthen me to do these things. And really what Paul is talking about in context here is that through my relationship with Jesus, he enables me, he strengthens me, he empowers me to be content, right? And that's so good, right? Because when we are content with whatever we have, then guess what? We can give whatever we have because Christ is enough for us. That I don't need my money, I don't need my stuff, I don't need that to be enough. I don't need to strive for more, I don't gotta get more, I don't gotta be more, I don't gotta do more, right? Because Christ is enough for me. And when I discover that secret, right, that unlocks this generosity within my heart, and that is hidden up in the gospel, which then moves to what I shared next on Sunday, was that participation is the expectation, right? Because of I've discovered this secret that's hidden in the gospel, right, that because of this contentment, I can be generous. Now I can begin to partner with the Lord in his mission. Right? That really the goal of our partnership with God is that we begin to have some skin in the game regarding his mission, about his kingdom. And that's what Paul, he connects generosity, the financial generosity of the Philippian church. He connects that with their involvement in their generosity, in their giving. And so there's an expectation that the Lord has on you and me, that we would participate with him in his mission. And what that means, right, is yes, that means by, you know, plugging in, using your gifts, using your time, using your talents, right, to help advance the mission at your campus. It means plugging into a life group. It means stepping onto a life team and serving and getting involved. It means participating, not just consuming, right? We're not customers receiving religious goods. But as the Spirit of God works in and through us, we move to be contributors, right? We have a role to play. And then, of course, that obviously means around our finances, right? That we give God our first and our best, right? We partner with him because of what he has done for us, that we give because God gave. God is not calling us to do something that he's unwilling to do. It's not that God expects and needs our resources, but God models to us the generosity from his heart by giving us his first and his best. I heard something recently around this idea around a tithe, right? And you may have heard that phrase before, giving 10%. Really connected to this Old Testament reality of taking the first 10% and offering up to the Lord. But really the heart behind the tithe is not a percentage or an amount, but it's about giving what's first. It's about giving our best to God. And then that really shifts in the New Testament, that it's not about a dollar amount. It's not about a percentage. It's about giving cheerfully, giving joyfully, giving our first and our best to God. And here's the deal. If we're unwilling to do that, what we begin to show is that we're not worshiping God through our resources, but we are worshiping our resources, right? And that's where Paul moves next in verses 17 through 20, talking about how worship is the goal. Paul says, not that I seek the gift. He's saying, I'm not seeking your money. I don't need that. I'm not going after your resources. But here's what he is seeking. I'm seeking the fruit that increases, increases to your credit. See, what Paul tells us is this beautiful theological reality that as we give, as we contribute our resources to God's mission, to God's kingdom, here's what happens. We receive fruit. We bear fruit. There is fruit that increases to our credit. And so that's this difference between transactional and transformational giving. See, transactional looks at generosity like, hey, what do I get out of this, right? When I go to buy something from the store, it's a transaction. I give you this and I get this in return. And sometimes we see that at the church. Hey, well, what I'm giving, what am I getting in return from that, right? What can I get? It's a seeking after the gift. What do I get from this? But Paul is saying it's not about transactions. It's about transformation. It's not about seeing what can I get. It's about seeing what can I give. What can I give because of the fruit that's going to be produced through this generosity? What is God going to do in and through this? And he connects it to this fragrant offering, this sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. Really pointing back to these Old Testament realities that the people of God would offer up sacrifices, things significant, meaningful to them, right? They would offer up to the Lord as a pleasing aroma. And God is pleased with yours and my sacrificial giving, not because he needs it, but because we're showing God that we are worshiping him more than our money. See, we're tempted to worship money and use God, but the gospel invites you and me to worship God and use our money. And so I just want to close by reading this from 1 Timothy 6. I think it's just a great reminder for you and for me. I think Paul connects this again, this theme to his young disciple, Timothy, around generosity. He says, as for the rich, this is 1 Timothy 6, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. What an uncertainty that is, right? The uncertainty of riches. But he says, to set your hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Remember, my God will supply every need of yours. That's what he's saying here. Verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Partnering in the gospel, right? Thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life, right? Not seeking the gift, but seeking the fruit, right? So it's just this reminder, what are we worshiping, right? Are we worshiping our stuff? Are we worshiping money? Or are we worshiping God through our money, through our stuff? Because remember, the secret to generosity is hidden in the gospel. And what a great way for Paul to end that amazing letter. So let me pray for you and for me, right? That we could be rich towards God, that we could be generous towards our resources, towards our time, our talents, and our treasures, so that God would continue to produce an amazing fruit, both in our lives and in others' lives, as we worship him through our resources. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful reminder. What a challenging reminder, Lord. I'm so tempted to want to worship stuff, God, to want more money, to want better things, right? Nicer cars, nicer house, right? More vacations and trips and more things for my kids to be able to enjoy. More retirement, Lord, all the things. I can begin to try to find contentment in the things of this world. And until Jesus, you are enough for me, nothing else will ever be. And God, I pray that would be true for all of us listening here, God, that Christ would be enough. That as Paul says, I have learned the secret of contentment. Would we learn that, Lord? Would you teach us it? Would you help us to be content, God, in any and every circumstance so that we could be rich toward you, so that we could partner in the gospel, God, with our time, our talent, and our treasure, worshiping you with our resources because you are worthy and you are better than anything this world could offer us. And so, God, may as we live in this way, may we be able to say what Paul says, that Caesar's household is being reached with the gospel, that Lord, those around us are being reached with the gospel as we live generously towards you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take a minute and would you pray as well that you would be able to leverage your resources for the kingdom?